Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, folks, like my good friend, the chief, says, Art Frith, he'll always be the chief to me. You know, he once told me, he said, you know, the admiral is not always right. He said, the chief is always right. He's never wrong. But the admiral may not always be right, but he's always the friggin' admiral. Listen, you know, before we go to Mike, before we go back to Ike, I've got to put my thanks out to Jim in Washington. Jim has been a rock-solid friend of mine for years. All these marathons I've run for St. Jude, he has never failed to contribute to help me reach my goal. I couldn't run these marathons in Memphis, Nashville, and New York without Ray. For instance, New York cost $3,500. Well, listen, he's been one of our biggest donors, too. In fact, he is the biggest donor to this day to Blood River Radio. Thank God we have people like him, but we need a lot more. But God bless him. And before we get ready to go back to Ike, I've got to listen. I struggled to get the man's bio. What a heck of an interview that Tom Goodrich was. I've got to tell y'all some of the stuff he's done. I can't believe we're getting this quality of people. Listen, this guy's been a guest on scores of radio talk shows, Ike. He's promoting his books. Many of the programs served in some of the largest markets in the U.S., including WBAL, Baltimore, Washington, D.C., and also KSFO San Francisco. He's been a guest on documentary films that aired on PBS, as well as Discovery, History, and the National Geographic channels. He's been on C-SPAN numerous times. My God, how did we get him? He's got some other books, and we're going to bring him back up to talk about a couple of his books. Here's the one I really want to get him on. He's currently working on a book. It's about the United States and Israel, Israel's Assassin. It's called the Disastrous Relationship Between the United States and Israel, Israel's Assassin, America in the Middle East Massacre from 2001-2020. Exposes the subservient nature of the United States government to the state of Israel and the devastating consequences of the world. We're going to get him back on. And the reason I'm saying this, people, we would have kept him on at least for an hour and a half or 2 hours, but his voice wears down. He was an old Vietnam vet, and I think he's been through hell, man. You know, if you've ever been over there, you know, you have just endless vaccinations, endless sprays, poisons of every kind. The incredible physical and psychological trauma. You just have to go through it to believe it. But listen, I got that out of the way. And now, I want to go back to Ike. Ike wanted to expand, I think, on the Joint Chiefs of Staff's resolutions. And if you, Ike, I want you to finish up because you didn't get as much time as I wanted to in that first show. So take off, my friend.
I got to tell you, Mr. Goodrich was fascinating to listen to. I was more than happy to just sit and absorb everything he had to say. The Morgenthau Plan was put forth by Henry Morgenthau, FDR's Secretary of the Treasury, a Jew who wanted to break Germany. It was supplanted by what I think was actually even a worse plan, JCS 1067, which was a plan actually put forth under the auspices of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That's what put Germany on literally a starvation food ration. They continued with the deindustrialization of Germany. They literally disassembled manufacturing facilities that weren't destroyed by the war, and they moved them out of the Ruhr industrial region. They encouraged the skilled labor, and, you know, think about it. When you're talking about armaments production and things like this, there's a tremendous amount of skilled labor present for that. I'm not talking engineers and supervisors and so on, literally the machine operators and so on. They encourage them to move away with their families and scatter them as far around Germany as they could scatter them. So JCS 1067 was probably even worse than the Morgenthau Plan. But then it was supplanted by a document called JCS 1779, which sort of started to take the boot off the neck of Germany, and it was done for what they called national security purposes for our benefit, well, whatever the thinking was for that. And then that was supplanted by the Marshall Plan, which we're all familiar with the Marshall Plan. That's what basically rebuilt war-ravaged Europe. But what was done to Germany after they had surrendered was an abomination, an absolute abomination. And, you know, when Mr. Goodrich was telling us about the fact that, to kind of paraphrase, the U.S. forces deserve no pass for how they acted in Germany, I'm in no way inclined to disagree with that. You know, the troops act as their leaders put forth a command imperative, so to speak. Now, one notable general who didn't go along with all this was George Patton. We know what happened to George Patton. George Patton was killed by our own people. As we were finishing up there, you were asking how these things were kept concealed. They were kept concealed by murder, you know? So, yeah, what was done to Germany after the Second World War was horrible. And these are our racial brothers, but they have the hate of the Jew put on them. Japan, which did far worse things, Japan actually they had a unit, the number of the units escaping my mind now. It was just a numerical designator, where they actually took our people, our POWs, and conducted medical experiments on them. I mean, primitive medical experiments. They'd immerse them in near-freezing water and see how long they could last. Well, I'm not trying to go off and change our conversation and talk about Japan, but Japan...
No, it's right.
These are right, savage and brutal people, not of our culture at all. And they were fairly well treated with kid gloves after the war by Roosevelt, allowed to keep their emperor, had a constitution written for them. If their constitution's as good as ours, they're probably wishing they didn't have it. But Germany, our racial brothers, were just treated abysmally, and that's because this country has been in the pocket of the Jews since way before the Second World War. Do I lay everything at the feet of the Jews? Well, I don't blame them for the icy road when I get to the foot of my driveway, but I would if I could.
You're too easy on them, Mike. That damn sure called the icy road, too.
You know what? I'll step it up.
Don't go soft on me now, brother, because I bragged
on
you.
I'll try.
Well, you know, Mike, I got a comment to you, and I think you'll agree. The reason, you know what, I think all this could be traced to biblical. You know, we know that we were fighting the Russians. The Germans were fighting the Pharisees and the scribes. The chapter. I can never remember that exact chapter, but it goes, you know, when Jesus was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, he told them, he said, you were your father, the devil. You came to kill, to murder, to loot, to steal. And I think the reason, this is my opinion now, I may be going up left field, but I think the reason the Jew and our Jew-controlled government and the Russians who were controlled by the Jews, the reason they hated Germany 10 times more than the Japanese is because the Japanese weren't Christian. The Japanese never, they don't have any, they had a few Christian churches in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. What do you know? Those cities got nuked.
That's right.
But by and large, Germany was a Christian nation, a white European of the highest order of Europeans, Christian nation. And that's what the Jew absolutely cannot stand. Ike, when we come back, I want you to comment on that. I hear the break. I hear the music coming. When we come back, I want you to take off on that, my brother.
I'll do it.
People, we'll be right back. And Ike's going to take that. He's going to take my comment, my question. He's going to run with it. No one can run better than Ike.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, 4 grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved 4 checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Regrets? Oh, we're all gonna have them. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do. At some point, you're gonna wish you'd done something differently. You know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But let me tell you a couple of things you'll never regret. You'll never regret spending extra time talking to your teenager. Trust me. You'll never regret answering your three-year-old's question about where the water in the bathtub comes from. And I've never seen anyone wish they hadn't sat in the kitchen laughing with their children and telling them goofy stories about when they were kids. Yeah, sure, we're all gonna have regrets, but talking too much with our kids won't be one of them.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, people, my day has been made. I'm going to tell you what, before we go back to Ike, I was so excited today. It seemed like every show I say, oh, this is the most excited I've ever been. Well, I'll be damned, today I just absolutely could not wait to get in here. You know, I really feel sorry for people that can't enjoy life as much as I've been enjoying it. I did all kinds of things today I'm not going to tell you about. But we're going to go back to Ike in a minute. Ike's going to round up these questions I ask, and then after Ike gets through that, Ike's still going to hang on with us. We're going to go to Lee. Lee's going to tell you about a colorful little visit that me and Lee went to the Jew Congressman's office Thursday. We had a really colorful visit there, you might say. I think Lee lost his temper a little bit, but I forgive him for that. Anyway, we're going to go back to Ike right now. Ike, my brother, and you are my brother, my younger brother. Finish up to what you were going to go with.
All right. Actually, the scripture you paraphrased a little bit, I happen to have that right in front of me. It's one of the things that you pinned up in front of me. It's John 8:44-45. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Now, I said something when we were on with Patrick a couple of weeks ago. Christianity began when God said, let there be light. Judaism began when the Jews cried out, give us Barabbas. Listen, they've been evicted from 109 host societies over the past several hundred years. And yet the problem is always someone else. You know, the Russian proverb is the Jew will always tell you what happened to him. He will never tell you why. There's a Polish proverb, the Jew cries out in pain as he strikes you. These people exist to be tribal and insular and usurious. They are not us. They will never be us. They envy us greatly. They envy our ability to create, the beauty of our people, the beauty of our women. Hey, listen, white women are magical, Eddie. All right.
Yes, they are.
You know, and this has never changed. This will never change. And what is the final resolution to this? What is the Gotterdammerung? I can't foretell the future. But we're at a critical point here. I've actually come to believe something that I heard as a comment in passing some years back. We're either going to be the greatest generation of white men to ever live, or we're going to be the last generation of white men.
Absolutely. Like, you know what, Ike? We have to have our own nation. And people, you know, and I don't know why people run from, oh, I'm not a white nationalist. You know, I'm not a white racist. I am a white nationalist. I'm 72 years old, and I've seen all the crap. And I realize right now the only damn way we're ever going to have any independence, ever have any peace, any justice, is by having our own nation, just like our Dr. Jew has his own nation over there in Israel. Well, you know, speaking of that, the Jew, Ike, Lee's chomping at the bit. Me and Lee made a little visit to none other than David Kustoff. He's the Jew congressman that put forth, he's the one that started all this hullabaloo in Congress a couple of weeks ago about getting this anti-Semitic legislation. Well, Lee's getting ready to tell you about a little visit we made last Thursday to the Jew David Kustoff's office. Take it away, Lee.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got there. He was there. We got there right when he was going to close for lunch, but he let us in, and he wouldn't let us record anything. And then the bombardier started on firing brimstone. In about 3 minutes, he said that's over. That's all. So we briskly left the office, but you know, I said next time, Eddie, let me start. I'm a little bit more diplomatic, and I should have told the person. He was nice. I said, you haven't heard the last from us. We're going to expose the truth about Israel and Zionism. But anyway, I'll say that for next time when we go visit our Congressman Steve Cohen. But he is my Kustoff is my congressman. I think he's a nice family man, because I met him at a meeting we were at, but he just brainwashed like everybody else, because they're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. You can't even criticize Israel for legitimate reasons, and that's dangerous. And we're standing up for the First Amendment.
Tell them about some of the points we covered while we were in there, before we got thrown out. Tell them about some of the points. Lee lost his temper and we got thrown out.
No, you were saying that this. Well, Eddie, you bet. I forgot what you used to.
I told him. Here's what I told him. I said, you know what? You can pass all the stinking resolutions you want. You're never going to shut us up. By God, we served this country. You know, against our will, we got drafted. I say we got drafted eons ago. I've been in this damn country before you were born. You know what? And Lee said, oh, I think he's a good man. I said, Lee, he's a Jew. I said, he's a Jew. He doesn't give a damn about you. You're a Christian. I said, let's get to the truth. The truth is Israel. And he says, we can't. I said, and this congressman gets up there, and he never said a stinking word about Christians. You know, he said, we got to have these laws against anti-Semitism. It's just going to be a stinking crime to talk about Israel. You know what I told him? I told him in his office, I said, you know what? I don't give a damn about Israel. I despise Israel. I'm not an Israeli citizen. I said, you know, believe it or not, you're not an Israeli citizen. You're supposed to be a United States congressman representing the people here in the United States, and you're not. You're more worried about that outlaw country in Israel than you are about your own country. And I said, let me tell you something else, dude. That country was built, the way it was built, it was born in terrorism. You went into a country that used to be Palestine, and you murdered and terrorized those people with the behest, because you had the United States government and the British government by the balls, and you forced them to go in there and do your dirty work for you, and you're built, it's a terrorist nation. That's the way it is today. And I said, you're never going to shut us up. You're never going to shut us up. And I said, you know, like I told him, I said, you mentioned, even in the latest resolution, you talked about the Hindus. We can't even, who the hell even knows about a Sikh? In the resolution, you can't even say anything about a stinking Sikh. We don't give a damn about the Sikh. I said, you know, if you're going to be a United States congressman, you need to get your butt, you get your act together. If you can't, you need to get your sorry Jew butt over to Israel. And that's what I told him. I said, if you care so much about Israel, you need to get the hell out of this country, get out of my country, get to Israel. And I'm going to shut up and go back to Lee.
Well yeah, Eddie. He was.
Now you know why we got kicked out. Go ahead, Lee.
But anyway, man, you took my breath away, Eddie, with that rant.
Oh, I got to say one more thing. Lee is the only. He's the only SOB I know in the planet Earth that would have gone up there with me. I have good friends of mine that you couldn't drag them in the office building. Like, Lee never even flinched, man. He never did. He never showed any fear whatsoever. Go ahead, Lee. I'm sorry. Go back to you.
Oh, boy, man, what a time to lose my train of thought. But, you know, we're going to go back up there and to another one. And Oh, help me out, Eddie. I've got.
Yeah, we're going to go back, but Lee, we're going to let Lee point this time. I'm just going to shut up, and I'm going to write out all my concerns, all my points. That I'm going to address them, and then we're going to go see. Which me and Lee said we wouldn't go announce it on the air because they won't be laying for us. But we're going to go see this Steve Coyne too. He's my congressman. He's a Jew. But anyway, that's what we did this week, people. We promised the audience that we're going to take stuff to the field. We went to the field, and me and Lee got some other stuff planned, hopefully for Sunday, and we're making another little trip this next week, and we'll report on that next week. Okay, so much for that. And listen, I would like to say, before we go back to Ike, I'd like to say this right here, too. I didn't get the chance to finish it last week. People criticize us for bringing in Nazis and the Klansmen. I'm going to tell you what. If you're a talk show host, if you're a journalist, you have no integrity. If you sit there and you preach and you say you believe in the Constitution, you believe in the First Amendment. Well, the First Amendment protects everyone's right to free speech. In this radio show here, until as long as we've got a breath in our body, we're going to have everybody. We're going to give the center stage to everyone that wants to come on this show. And another thing I said, I can't believe people will say, well, if you bring the Nazis on, you're going to turn away the masses. Well, I don't give a damn about the masses. And we've made that clear before. If you tell them, listen, when we come back, I'm going to finish up my little spiel, and then I want Lee and Ike to go back, and we're going to take off on New Zealand. But I'll finish my little rant when we come back, people, and I promise you it's going to be more civil and it'll be less hot. So hang on to your seat, people. We'll be right back. If I got to calm Lee down over, he's getting too mad.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
People are gathering for prayer vigils all across New Zealand after a terrorist went in and shot and killed 49 people in two separate mosques on Friday. U.S. Ambassador to New Zealand Scott Brown tells Fox News things will not stay the same in New Zealand after these two attacks.
They've always been very diligent and vigilant on their terror. Even though they have a natural border, the ocean, they still know that there are a lot of things happening here, whether it's ISIS or human drug and child trafficking, so that they're on it. They work very hard at it.
St. Patrick's Day celebrations are getting underway across the United States. Some big parades, including the nation's oldest, is being held in New York City today, with more than 1 million spectators expected to turn out. Festivities in Chicago began early this morning as well, with the traditional dyeing of the Chicago River. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Ask yourself, if you built a van for your business, where would you start? At the beginning, of course. With the people who invented the work van over 100 years ago, Mercedes-Benz. You'd give your new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter advanced technology and safety to keep you connected and protected. You'd make it available in diesel and gas, and there would be thousands of configurations and upfits to choose from. You'd build it right here in the USA, because your one-of-a-kind business deserves nothing less than a van that's built for you. Introducing the all-new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. The safest, most innovative Sprinter yet, starting at just $33,790. Built for you, the all-new Sprinter, built in the USA. Mercedes-Benz, vans, born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Equipment described as optional. 2019 Mercedes-Benz Sprinter available soon.
Protesters in France's Yellow Vest movement are clashing with police in Paris on Saturday as they continue their four-month-old battle against pro-business reforms. More than 30 protesters were arrested as a bank was also lit on fire. Government officials say violent individuals are infiltrating protests to stir up violence and chaos. An effort to save energy by upgrading light bulbs has gone dark. More from USA Radio Network's Wendy King.
The Energy Department plans to roll back efforts to eliminate expensive incandescent light bulbs and instead keep them available along with a more energy-efficient LED light bulb. National Resources Defense Council Director Noah Horowitz says legal action will be taken.
They cost consumers an extra $12 billion a year to operate, and we're using 25 more power plants worth of electricity to keep those inefficient bulbs illuminated. And that's causing about 34 million extra tons of carbon dioxide.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
The Innis is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, folks, we're right back, and we're going to go to Lee right now. Lee has got his 44 Magnum, rhetorical 44 Magnum. Lee, tell us a few things we forgot to tell them before we go back to Ike.
Oh, yeah, we did offer the congressman to come on our show and debate us, but they wouldn't do it. We called, they wouldn't accept our calls, would they, Eddie? They wouldn't.
We called numerous times, and they would not answer our phone calls. They wouldn't give us a debate, so we just showed the hell up.
Yeah, and so we're going to, keep after them, because everybody thinks Israel hung the moon, but they're really an apostate nation. They're anti-God. It's all a deception. Plus, they did terrorize the Palestinians. And if you read the Israelis' literature, they had no intention of treating the Palestinians as a first-class citizen. And they did kill women and babies to terrorize the Palestinians, and they all left. And a lot of Jewish people don't like what they did to the Palestinians. And there's the true Torah Jews. We got to get a true Torah Jew. And a lot of people disagree with this, but there's a difference between Zionism, which is political, and Judaism. And the Back to Israel movement is probably the worst thing that ever happened in the history of the world. We just got to keep preaching and teaching and get people to do their homework so they'll see the truth about Israel. They're not God's chosen people. If they were God's chosen people, they would voluntarily leave Israel and go to another South America or go up there where Sam in Utah. I bet the Mormons are friendly. They can go up there, and it would solve 80% of the problems of the world. But they're not God's chosen people. They're God's failed people. God's failed people. And they were never supposed to go. But I know a lot of people have different theological outtakes.
They're not God's people at all.
Yeah, they're maybe Satan's people. Go ahead. Yeah.
One last thing. And by the way,
Jews are the children of the devil. All right?
Okay.
The Jews are Kenites. They come from the serpent. The serpent in the Garden of Eden wasn't actually a snake. It was a Jew. It was a Kenite. All right? Uh-huh. I subscribe to the dual seed bloodline. I don't think Jews are us in any way, shape, or form. I don't want them anywhere near me. I told my preacher of the church that I'm not in anymore that I'll have nothing to do with doing away with blacks or Hispanics or any of that. But if I could flick a switch and every Jew on this planet just vanishes just like that, boom, baby, I just did it. They're not us. They can't be amongst us. They're the destroyers. And I don't mean to jump in and jump all over what you said, I don't want them. I don't want them in Utah. I don't want them in Palestine. I want them in hell with their father.
Well, remember, this is First Amendment. Your freedom of conscience. We can agree to disagree.
Absolutely. I'm not trying to take away your right to say what you wanted to say, but I felt the need.
Yeah.
To
okay.
You know?
Understand.
One final thing before I go back to y'all. This guy here, he's actually Lee's representative, and Lee was respectful. He's called. Mm-hmm. I've called. We tried to get an appointment, and he wouldn't do that because you know what? Because he can't go to the Congress. It's not like he couldn't intimidate us. He can go to the Congress and intimidate all those people, but he can't intimidate us. And before we run out of time, Lee and Ike, we need to cover. We'll wrap this subject up, and we need to start covering what happened down there in New Zealand, guys. But go ahead, Ike. Finish up with you. Let's finish up.
Well, actually, I kind of said what I say about that topic. But as far as New Zealand, I'll tell you, you and I spoke a little earlier before we came on the air about whether or not this might be a false flag. Well, I'm in no way, shape, or form going to sit here and say that's not possible. But at this point, I'm probably not prepared to say that I feel sure that it is. I mean, we look at some massive false flags. I don't know how y'all feel about Sandy Hook, but there's some things about Sandy Hook that don't make any sense at all. Sandy Hook was a huge false flag meant to strip us of our Second Amendment rights. Now, this thing down in New Zealand, maybe it'll be proven to look like that. But at this point, what it seems like to me, this is the Sky King. Remember Rich, the Sky King, stole the airplane? This is the Sky King. This is a white man who just had enough. Only instead of stealing an airplane crashing into the ground, he took a bunch of firearms into a mosque and shot a bunch of Muslims. Now, I'm not going to virtue signal against this guy. Look at how many of our people have been murdered by the Muslims. And how about that little girl that he says this was revenge for? Ebba, she got a Scandinavian last name. There it is, Ebba Ackerland. Right. I've seen pictures of Ebba Ackerland's remains after that truck smashed into her. This was an 11-year-old deaf girl. All right, and I'm going to describe this for you. Her torso, with the arms still intact, are grasping her little stuffed animal, and her legs are torn loose from her, and they're separate themselves, and they're laying a few feet away from her little broken body. So do I have any sympathy for 49 Muslims in New Zealand? Absolutely not.
You know, before I go back to Lee, Ike, there's something else, too, to chime in, to back up what you say. It hadn't been that many weeks ago that the Israelis opened up with automatic weapons, machine guns on the Palestinians, and they killed something like, I believe, about 125 Palestinians. And you know what? That was never, to my knowledge, that's never been on any mainstream news show. They've killed thousands of Palestinians over there. They got the largest open-air concentration camp in the world since the Eisenhower's death camps in Germany. But nary a word is said about that. Lee has also...
Whether we agree on whose people the Jews are is sort of academic, because they own the media, and they're no way, shape, or form. They're never going to put a news article out that shows the Israelis for the war criminals that they are. They use white phosphorus on civilians. They're criminals. They're devils. You know.
Amen.
They're co-religionists own the media.
You will know them by their fruits, and look at their fruit. Their fruit is rotten. Lee, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I was just saying that there's two or three other people in custody that helped. I think they helped that guy. I think they drove their – that's what I heard. There's two or three other people. Plus this guy – where did this guy get all the money and all the expertise? And in my opinion, the government knew what he – governments know what he was doing, and they – at least let it to happen. Or maybe he's a wind up. Maybe he's on psychiatric drugs.
He was from Australia originally, Lee.
He was. Well, and also he's, he was Australia. And, so you don't, his background is suspect, but, go ahead, Eddie, go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to back up what Sam said. I kind of agree with Sam, I more than agree. I think Sam is right. In fact, I asked him before we went on the show, asked Sam what he thought about that. And Sam said it's got false flag written all over it. I mean, get this. And Lee told me that I think that Facebook was shut down two days before that start happened. And get this. And they immediately came out. You know what the catchphrase is, catchword they're using now, is not just white supremacists, but global white supremacists, global white hatred. But, that's I agree with Sam. I think they're using that, and he could be a Manchurian candidate. I don't know, but I think, and I'll lay money. I'll go out on the limb. I'll go out on thin ice and say I think it will be proved to be a Manchurian candidate type dude. It could be I could be right. I could be right. But maybe it's a little of both. But I think in the end, it's going to be that the globalists have been using this as a club to beat us over the head and say, look, this is right. Now we have global white people. White men need to die. I have people right here in Memphis, Tennessee, tell me I'm just a toxic old white man, and I have just a few years left, and I'll be out of the way. Go back to now. What do you think about that, Ike?
Well, yes, it is. It is a global movement against us, without question. And here's, I guess, what I'm really trying to convey about what happened in New Zealand. I'm just not prepared to say that that's not possible, that it's a false flag. There's so many things that have really made a big splash that seemed useful to our opposition. I think they clearly are false flags. I use Sandy Hook as an example. Now, maybe this will be proven to be one, but what I was thinking of when you and I were speaking a little bit ago before we came on the air, there's a fellow named Matt Bracken. He's written a few different books. He's a former Navy SEAL officer, and he wrote an essay called Professor Raoul X. And this Professor Raoul X, whether he's an operative or he has handlers, isn't really clear in the essay, but he gets inside the heads of young men, young disaffected men, and induces them, influences them, guides them, funds them, these different things, to do things like what this fellow in New Zealand did. So I feel certain there's more than meets the eye here, but the best statement I can make is, let's see how the events unfold. What's aggravating to me is all the virtue signaling going on by our own people, white people.
Amen. Amen.
No, it's just
well, Ike, we got to go to a break now, fella. I don't know if you hear the music, but we got to go to a break. And as soon as we come back, I'm going to take off right where you left off. And I got a few more comments to kind of cram in before we leave the show tonight. People, hang on to your seat. We'll be right back with me, Lee, and Ike.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Old chunk of coal is back. People, I'm going to go off on and finish a little rant. I keep getting sidetracked. I'm getting so old, and it's hard for me to keep my mind on what I'm saying. But I'm going to finish a little rant I started about 2 weeks ago. I can never get through with it. I'm almost through with it, though. Part of it has to do with Lee. Part of it has to do with Ike, too. They've heard me say it. we talked about, and some of I may repeat myself a little bit, but please be patient because, like I say, I'm an old dude. I got an old brain. We've had the Nazis and the Klan on here, and you know, and we've said that Lee and I and Sam, we talked about the First Amendment, the Constitution, et cetera. Everyone deserves a right to come on this show and give his give a spiel. We want to hear what the Nazis have to say about what the Nazis think. We want the Klan to say what the Nazis. We don't care what Rabbi Spellman says. We don't care what Rabbi Waxman says here in Memphis. We don't care what the ADL says, the EOC, or who, no, you name it, SPLOC. We don't care what they say. We want to hear the real deal. And I'm going to tell you something else. You know in your heart, and I'm talking to a lot of my brothers right now, we've discussed in private about the Nazis and the Klan, and I can't think of a single one that's ever told me that they were that I was wrong. The Nazis and the Klans were at least as good as the average Republican and the Democrat, and a hell of a lot better than the Zionist Jews. You know, so and if you're in our business and you lie by omission, if you refuse to have these people on your show and expose the truth like we're doing, we know now that the Nazis and the Klans, they did a lot of good. They've been so many lies told about them. The same lies have been told about every single alt-right radio station I could think of, every single alt-right group, even the family councils, you know, from Bach Radio here in Memphis, a mainstream Christian, just as cucked out and just as vile as you can get. They're listed, they're on the ADL's website as a hate group. If you don't get these people on the show, and you don't expose the truth because you're afraid of what the masses are going to say. You're afraid you're going to drive the masses away. And you know what? In my book, you have no integrity. You cannot possibly be a radio show host and be intellectually honest. You can't have any moral character. It's amoral not to bring the truth. I know it's a monstrous lie, and I know a lot of our people will probably never believe it. But that doesn't matter. It's your job. It's your job as a white person, as a white Christian, to stand up and defend your race. It's your job to expose these monstrous lies. If you don't, I'm just going to say it. You're a coward. You're a straight-up coward, and I really don't have a lot of respect for you. And with that, I'm going to shut up and go back to Lee now, Lee.
Yeah, I just have – Sandy Hook was 100% staged. Half the government of Connecticut was in on it. I've studied James Fetzer. I think they took him off of YouTube or his site, but he was exposing. And that Florida patrolman, Wolfgang Halbert, he's exposed them. But I can guarantee you it was 100% staged.
What do you think about that, Ike?
Oh, I definitely think Sandy Hook is staged. Lee, it was a closed school prior to the incident, the alleged
mm-hmm.
incident.
Mm-hmm.
There was an active shooter drill taking place that very day. There was a fire station, is a fire station, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's only a few blocks or less from the school. They wouldn't allow
yes.
the paramedic teams from this fire station to respond. The school was bulldozed immediately, which destroyed all the evidence. And here's something that I've ferreted out. I'm sure I'm not the only one who has, and it won't surprise me a bit if both you gentlemen have ferreted this out. The FBI uniform crime reports are still the gold standard of crime reporting in America. They've not been corrupted. I've never heard any source ever say that the uniform crime reports have been corrupted. You know how many murders took place? It's called an SMSA, a Standard Metropolitan Statistical Area. I believe it's Stamford that contains Sandy Hook. Can't swear to that, but I did research what it was at the time. You know how many murders were committed in 2012 in that SMSA? None.
No.
None.
What?
Zero.
Wow.
Zero.
That's probably wow. for legal. That's a legal cover, I guess. Yeah.
That's amazing. You know, that's amazing, Ike. Continue on, Ike.
But yes, I believe Sandy Hook was definitely a false flag. I mean, think back to 2012. That abomination had just been reelected. He had the ability, the will to seriously trample on the Second Amendment, and that was meant to do that. Now, for some reason, for whatever reason it is, I'm thankful for it, the politicians of this country, who I mostly have no use for, they so far have not been willing, pretty much no matter what happens, to seriously restrict the Second Amendment, past the point where it's already restricted. I mean, let's be candid, the National Firearms Act 1934 infringed on it, the Gun Control Act 1968 infringed on it, the Gun Owners Relief Act in 1986, that infringed on it. But each of these mass shooting events, quote-unquote, that takes place, nothing comes of it statute-wise. Now, how long will that be the case? As the electorate of this country changes, the Congress is going to change. And as what I just euphemistically call the other takes this country over, takes this electorate over, you're going to get politicians in there who are very willing to enact firearms restriction because they come from a culture completely unlike our, my particular culture's Scots-Irish Appalachian, German on my mother's side. There's a tradition of personal freedom and liberty there backed up by an armed man. You know, armed resistance to tyranny. Well, that's our legacy. That's not the legacy of brown people from south of the border. That's not the legacy of sub-Saharan Africans. So as they take over the electorate of this country, we're probably going to be screwed. And at that point, it's use them or lose them.
That's an excellent point. You have anything to say about that?
Well, I just wish, you know, eventually the cultural base will be outnumbered and we're going to have to come up with a different political solution. But how can we, if we're outnumbered, the Senate, Texas will fall and Georgia, you know, we'll be like a permanent minority. And that's going to have a problem. Just like the Civil War, the South was a permanent minority.
I think you just answered your own question, Lee. We'll become, I think Lee answered our question. We will become, if we're not already a minority, I think we might already be a minority, but if we're not, we will be soon. And once we are a minority, it's going to be hell to pay. There will be no more political solution. No, there's almost no political solution now. I don't know if I think God's going to have to save us, but I think our only hope is somehow, God, if we can get a carve out a nation inside this here United States 48 and have a white nationalist nation.
You know, we also got to go back to the words of a great German statesman, Otto von Bismarck, sometime in the 1870s or 1880s. I don't have the date of this quote. It's very simple. Not through speeches and majority decisions will the great questions of the day be decided, but by iron and blood.
Amen. Amen. You know what about to back up, and I've said this several times to back up what you said. George Washington and Mao Zedong said pretty much the same thing. George Washington probably said it more eloquently. George Washington said something like, he said, government is not reason. It is not eloquence. He said, government is force, pure force. I put in the words pure. He said, and like fire, it makes a dangerous servant and a cruel master. Well, Mao Zedong said it a little bit more concise, maybe not quite as eloquent. Mao Zedong said that all law and all government comes at the end of a gun barrel. Back to you, Ike.
Well, what is democracy? Through two people forcing another guy to give up his wallet. See, now how can we prevent that? You know, when we're outnumbered, we got to have a different solution, unless, like you're saying, shoot it out, but that's going to be a disaster too.
Ike, how long will it be? Are we going to be in a South Africa situation, an Alamo situation, Ike, in the near time future?
We've got a wild card here. We are still a pretty massively armed population, so you know we won't be trampled, and we're not the small numerical minority that the Afrikaners are in South Africa. So we've still got numbers in a whole different order of magnitude than what they have in South Africa. We still have our personal weapons, which they don't have in Britain, Germany, France,
New Zealand.
Well, yeah, I actually took the time to read up on the New Zealand gun laws after this happened. They're not quite as restrictive as Australia, but they do strictly control what they call military style weapons, which, as we know, is just a misnomer. I can any one of us could name a wood stocked rifle, a beautiful dark brown walnut stock, looks like it belongs in a sportsman's gun cabinet. That's every bit as lethal as my M14 or my M4 or what have you. But they're going to have a problem down there after this, I believe, because they've got a far leftist prime minister. I looked into her just a little bit too, and she's a social justice warrior. Ardrin, I can't remember her first name. And when you look at her, she just looks like a cat lady. Okay, she's she's running a country, so let's just see what happens down there. But where will we go in this country, gentlemen? Well, obviously, demographically, we're being replaced. Our birth rate is at below replacement level. Did either one of you read the New Zealand Shooters Manifesto yet? I didn't read that.
But Ike, is it irreversible? Our demise, is it irreversible now?
No.
I think it is.
No. I even if somebody were to sit down and demonstrate to me mathematically that that's the case, I still won't buy into it because I've got that thing we talk about, Eddie. I've got the utopia of hope.
I got you. Well, I thank you so very much, my brother, and you are my brother. Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Sam. God, what a wonderful day. I'm so glad. I wouldn't trade me being me with anybody. I love this radio show. I love our people. God bless you, all you people out there on the behalf of Mike, Ike, and Lee and me. Thank you so much for listening on to us tonight. And God bless us. God bless the Boers. God bless Rich Hamlin. God bless all of our wonderful friends. Good night, y'all, and we'll see y'all next week, God willing.